You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Two drumming nerds just sitting in here, air drumming to Bon Jovi.
That's what we do every time.
Bobby Kerr in today for Dana Wright. She is out sick, not well.
Under the weather.
Translation, there's not a cloud in the sky, and it's 70 degrees, and golf don't play itself.
Oh, we're going for the golf accusation right out
of
the gate.
No. Woo. You know I'm kidding.
Hope you feel better, D.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, brother.
Yeah, how was your
and
day?
Sam, good to see you.
How was your day?
My day has been... It's been a day. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I started out, got to do some teaching.
Yeah. You taught a bunch of realtors about how to use computers and stuff.
I wouldn't say computers, but like Google Business. That's one of my areas of expertise. And then I had a doctor's appointment.
Yeah. What kind?
My urologist.
Drop your shorts and bend over.
Oh, no, really. We don't need to. We don't want to do that. Say, you know, my kidneys feel a lot better in this position. Maybe it's just that I'm not doing any calisthenics. You know, if I did some sit-ups in the morning or bent over like this, I'd probably feel 100% better. Moon River. Whew. Thank you, Doc. You ever serve time?
Breathe easy.
Breathe easy. You using the whole fist, Doc?
Just relax. Okay.
I didn't know we had microphones in the room.
So, yeah. There's only one problem, Sam. His urologist is a woman.
Okay.
Why is that a problem?
Well, I'm just saying.
We're getting personal today.
Yeah, wow.
I mean, out of the gate.
Why don't you just dox her?
What?
I just realized I used a term to somebody who's not going to know what that term means. Bobby, yep. Would you like to explain to Scott what doxing is?
I believe you're referencing like cutting her down?
No. Okay. Well, sorry, guys.
The old guys in the room here. Well,
doxing is when you out somebody's personal information, where they live, what they do for a living.
Oh.
Doxing. Sorry.
Like documenting?
Let's make ourselves sound more out of touch.
Let's go back to the Moon River references.
That's not weird. I mean, listen, to each their own.
I didn't like choose like a menu and say, give me that doctor. I was that doctor.
So I have my annual physical next month.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone to the same doctor, Dr. Buss, Matthew Buss, for 25 years. And then he left that family practice, and Sam, is it called Spire or Spira Health? It's only for people who have Blue Cross Blue Shield or
sure.
Work for Blue Cross, whatever.
Spire, probably.
I think it's Spire, yeah. Anyway, he ends up going over there, and so I called down for my annual physical, and they said, well, you know, he can't see you. You don't either work for the right company or have the right insurance or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I have my annual physical next month with his old nurse practitioner, Michelle. And
yep.
I'll let you know how it
goes.
That's
basically how it happened for me. I did have a male urologist, and then he moved. And so then I was assumed with his replacement.
Okay.
She's awesome.
Everything okay?
Everything checked out great.
Are you talking about things being uncomfortable because it's a female and we're getting very... invasive, we'll say.
We are. Here's the thing. When you're post, 40.
Yeah.
And it's just important to do that stuff. And I really don't, I'm not going to let you do the exam, Sam.
Well, I wouldn't want to, but thank you for the offer.
If somebody is educated enough to tell me whether or not I'm going to be healthy in that regard, then more power to them.
100% Moon River.
I texted a bunch of my buddies that clip this morning.
I'm sorry, but that scene never gets old to me.
Oh, I mean, there are women out there that refuse to have a male gynecologist.
That is true. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, there are women who will just refuse to go to a male gynecologist.
What would you prefer, a female urologist or a female proctologist?
The proctology doesn't bother me either way.
You're asleep.
You're out. And so... I guess if I'm going, all right.
And then we should move on from this borderline section.
Yeah, really, really
I feel
quickly.
Like we're really toeing the line.
What I'm saying is, when they say, "Hey, drop your pants," we're going to have to do some medical examinations. This is the real world. Do I want a dude doing that, or do I want a lady doing that? And there's no right answer
there. I don't really want anyone doing it.
So what do we have today?
If I can be serious for a second, and it's horribly unfortunate. We have learned today that, you know, you've heard about the shooting outside of the Jewish celebration last night in D.C. Yep. The young lady, and this was a couple that were set to get engaged next week in Jerusalem. The young lady who was killed, may God bless her, Sarah Milgram, is from Overland Park.
Really?
Yep.
Mm.
And graduated from KU. I don't know what to say about this story other than it is detestable. It is awful. I don't understand people with hate in their heart. You know what I mean, Bobby?
I do know. And it's unfortunately, I know what you mean, but I don't understand it.
I don't know. Honest to God, I don't know what it feels like to hate somebody. I know what it feels like to hate something, right? But I don't know what it feels like to hate somebody. And even somebody you don't even know.
I was going to say, to make matters worse, they don't hate somebody. They hate do something. Hate something, but they hate
the fact that
person is in some way attached to that thing.
Yeah, they attach it to it to a human being, and therefore, because of their hate for that something, they end up hating those somebodies.
It's like the literal personification of hate.
Yeah, and I just, honest to God, and I don't want to make a topic out of this. If you knew Sarah Milgram and you want to write into the text line and let us share some things about her, we're happy to do that. I can't think of anybody who's going to say what happened last night was right or was okay, because it's not. It's not. And it's, you know, to go back and borrow the adjectives again, it was awful. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. And to have that much hate in your heart, may you rot in hell for the hell that you've unleashed on us, on those families. And I'm assuming her family, you know, she graduated KU about a decade ago.
X-Line says she went to Shawnee Mission East. We don't have a confirmation on that, but
okay, we don't
know
that.
Very close to home.
Oh, sure. And the hell that you have wrought on this family in Overland Park, I'm assuming her folks still live here. She was young. I was talking to my mom about it today, and she had not heard that this young lady was from Overland Park until I told her. And I remember telling my mom, I said, I can't even imagine what that family is going through today. To wake up to that news and your daughter is dead, murdered senselessly for no other reason but to who she prays to at night.
Yeah.
I mean, you're a special kind of evil.
Yeah, this kind of stuff's happening more and more, and the ideology that you can just take matters into your own hands to attack or eradicate certain beliefs or people who have certain beliefs, it's just disgusting.
And for what gain? I mean, he's being hauled away.
Mental illness. Because
it has to be.
The shooter is alive. He did not take his own life.
Sadly.
And hopefully he's persecuted or prosecuted, excuse me.
Maybe both.
prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. And who knows what else.
It's sad. I mean, I woke up to that news this morning. I got up at 4:30. It was already the lead story on the news at 4:30 this morning. And I'm like, literally, I'm laying in bed. T's still asleep. I'm laying in bed, and I'm just shaking my head, and I'm like, what is wrong with people?
And then to have it hit, you know, so close to home.
And we didn't, and Sam, you're right. We didn't know that at 4:30 this morning. I didn't hear about that until about 9:30, 10 o'clock. That she was from Overland Park, was a member of Hillel in Lawrence at the University of Kansas.
Both were embassy workers, correct?
Yeah, they both worked for the Israeli embassy in D.C., yeah. And had gone, by the way, this alleged killer is screaming, free, free Palestine, as he's being...
Yeah, I heard that audio.
Being walked away by the cops. And the irony of it all is that this meeting at this museum, this Jewish museum in D.C., was about building bridges and providing aid for the Palestinians in Gaza. And that's literally what they met about last night.
But sadly, that's what the hateful hate so much, is bridging that divide.
Mm-hmm.
like the divides. It's like the catalyst
yeah.
to fuel their anger. Mm-hmm. So they like the divide.
913-586-7798, 586-7798. Bobby Kerr, in for Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III here on KMBZ. All right, Bobby Kerr is in today for Dana Wright. You may know Bobby as Bob Jovi.
That's right.
Formerly Almost Paul Stanley in a little band that we both used to play in called Almost Kiss.
The good old
which,
days.
By the way, was more than 15 years ago.
I know.
I was talking to my mom today, and I told her, you know, Dana's out sick today. And she goes, oh, who's filling in? I said, Bobby Kerr. And she was like, oh, Almost Paul Stanley? I said, yeah.
And just immediately knew that?
And then I'm like, well, yeah, she's my mother has not only been to a Kiss concert now,
mm-hmm.
but would go to a handful. I don't remember if she went to two or three, or I don't remember how many it was. But yes, saw her son in tight spandex with fake hair and a lot of face paint.
You know, she was so proud.
She couldn't have been prouder.
She was. You took her to an actual Kiss show, if my memory serves. That was at the Independence Event Center?
No, we went to the T-Mobile.
Which, you took family, your brother, to Independence, was that?
So, the Independence Event Center one.
That was 2012.
Was it? Yeah. I took my daughter Sarah, and my brother took his daughter Lydia.
That's right, because you gave me your two tickets, and your two tickets were front row, sitting mm-hmm. next to Johnny Dare. Mm-hmm. So, me and my buddy Brett went to that show, and you guys sat in other seats because you had four together. And so
I wouldn't say we were nosebleed. You can't be nosebleed at the Independence Event Center. But we were not on the floor.
Yeah, that's a great memory for Brett and I. Have Brett's only first and only time seeing Kiss, and to be front row at a Kiss show
that's pretty awesome.
I mean, so it was incredible.
I'll tell you a funny story. Years ago, and by years ago, this was early 2000s. Kiss was on their probably third or fourth year of the Never Ending Farewell Tour.
Yep.
And it was Kiss and Poison.
Yep. That was 03.
Okay. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
So I end up getting tickets from Bob Edwards down at The Rock. And I had no idea where these were. I didn't even look, right?
This is Sandstone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had two Kiss tickets. And I had called my brother because he's a huge Kiss fan. We go to Kiss concerts all the time. And he lives in Wichita, and he tells me, I said, hey, man, I got two tickets from The Rock for Kiss and Poison at Sandstone. And he says, I can't make it. I just can't make it that time. And he didn't tell me why, and I ended up taking my buddy Mike Brenniger. And we get to Sandstone, and I have no idea where we're going. You know, this is back in my drinking days. I'm half-cocked anyway. Who mm-hmm. cares? And I hand the lady my ticket. And she goes, oh, I'm going to need your wrist. And she puts this red wristband on my wrist.
Like the VIP.
And so we end up front row at Kiss and Poison, right where Gene Simmons would be.
Yes.
And I called my brother and I go, dude, you're not going to believe this. This was before the show even started. I go, I am front row at a Kiss concert. And he goes,
that you were supposed to be at.
Right. That I had invited yeah. him to go with me. And he said, he goes, you're front row at a Kiss concert? And all I hear is in the background is his wife goes, Steve, I'm so sorry. And CeCe DeVille from Poison, I'm not going to accuse him of being under the influence of anything.
Oh, come on.
But let's just say he ended up on his butt
yeah.
More than once that night.
I believe it.
Tripped over a mic stand that was set up for Gene Simmons.
Dude, we could talk Kiss concert experiences all day.
Well, we're probably not going to.
No, we're not going to.
St. Margaret would show up to the Almost Kiss show, and they would dim the lights as you guys took the stage, and like a spotlight in the middle of the crowd, there she was, just beaming with joy.
Well, she was stage right when her oldest heir to the family fortune walked up on stage wearing very tight clothing and a lot of makeup just to play two or three songs, you know. And I remember looking over at my mom on the side of the stage, and she's just standing there just staring at me. And I'm like,
trying to make sense. Where did I go wrong?
Where did I go wrong? I have failed.
I tried so hard.
Here he is. Anyway, from NBC News, those books that the Chicago Sun-Times recommended reading this summer, you can stop looking for them. The newspaper said today that several of the titles had been generated by AI and do not even exist. Published on Sunday, it's called the article is called Heat Index, Your Guide to the Best of Summer. It was published on Sunday, was created in part by a freelancer who works for a third-party company. Quoting here from Melissa Bell, who is the chief executive of the Chicago Sun-Times, to our great disappointment, that list was created through the use of an AI tool and recommended books that do not exist. We are actively investigating the accuracy of other content in that special section. By the way, the Sun-Times recently cut their staff by 20%, increased their AI usage apparently by 100%.
Unbelievable.
Are we now at the point where AI is going to start writing books?
Yes.
Start writing newspaper articles?
We're not
now. It's already happening.
Yeah, we're not now at that point. Yeah. That has been happening for a while. There are people that make tens of thousands of dollars a month on AI-written books that they put on Amazon.
That's the new ghostwriter, basically.
Yeah, you go onto Amazon, you buy a children's book.
Yeah.
Odds are it was written by an AI bot.
Well, and I may be misreading this headline. I didn't read the entire story, but I certainly read the headline and a little bit of the story. And I'm not getting political. I'm not. It involves this kind of stuff. Melania Trump, the first lady, of course, apparently did an audio book. It's a memoir about her that was generated by AI. She didn't write it.
Is that like something she admits to? Is that what you're saying? Or it's come out?
I don't think she's denying it.
Okay.
I think I saw it on abcnews.com. Let me look that up.
Going political already.
No, I'm not. I'm not talking about whether I like her or don't like her, or like her husband or don't like her husband. I don't care. What I'm saying is, it's my understanding that she or somebody that she works with had AI generate a memoir about her life. Okay, that she didn't write it. Okay, AI wrote it. As long as they're upfront and honest about that, who cares? And then she is doing the audiobook on a memoir about her life that she didn't write, AI wrote.
I wonder why the first lady would have an AI program write her book instead of some notorious author or biographer.
But news organizations need to watch out for this, to bring it back to the story at hand.
Oh, yeah.
News organizations need to watch out for this because this was a third-party journalist who sold this story to the paper, right? They probably paid, I don't know what these rates go for, but a decent sum of money to this guy.
To compile this list.
And all he did was go to ChatGPT and type up best books for the summer.
I think this, to your point, Scott.
Let me rephrase and correct myself. I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon. I got it in reverse, and so I want to correct myself. And unlike most talk show hosts, I can admit when I'm wrong. She is having AI voice the audiobook of her memoir. Does that make sense?
Living up to the coffee mug. I see you, Scott.
The roastery?
The one that says Scott is a liberal.
Okay, to your point. To your point, yes. This,
Bobby's like, reel it in.
We're already living in that time. I think we might have talked about this one other time I was on the show, but I used to teach middle school. And before ChatGPT or anything, I got out of teaching. And I say to my sister, who's in education, my best friend Craig's in education, and they're both administrators. And I ask them, like, how in the world can this be completely policed? It can't. And so I remember back, even when I was in college 20 plus years ago, that they would talk about, or maybe it was when I was getting my master's degree, so like 10, 15 years ago, and they were talking about AI programs or writing papers for you when you have to do like a dissertation, et cetera. And they had this software that could read your paper to ensure that it wasn't fake.
It's called Turnitin.
And now, how is every, if I'm 12 and I've got access to some assistance to help me do my book report or whatever, the book that I didn't read the night before, I probably would have taken advantage of the tools at my disposal.
But how
well.
Do you police that? And then also, and this is what scares me the most, and we've talked about this before, REAI, is at what point does AI create a Vladimir Putin, right, on TV, air quotes, saying we have just launched nuclear missiles at the United States as of 1425 hours.
Hold that thought. We're late for a break.
Okay.
Have I got news for you about AI and what was just released by Google and the new version of AI and what it can do?
Let's go.
When we come back. Well, who knew that our little guest co-host today opened for Smash Mouth once?
Really?
I did. The year was 2001. Our band from high school and college, Axiom, we won a contest. And in Warrensburg, Missouri, in the multi, like where they do all the graduations and stuff, we opened for Smash Mouth.
That is awesome.
What are we doing?
Spring of 2001.
Real quick, before we get back to AI, are you seeing what the All-American Rejects are doing right now?
Yes.
That is awesome.
I am so envious of not only the people in the backyards, but of the band just getting back to their roots, probably having the time of their life. Do you know what they're doing, Scott?
No.
All-American Rejects.
Literally sitting here in the dark.
They're playing house parties. They're doing a house party tour.
Oh.
You know the All-American Rejects, right? Move Along, Gives You Hell.
Yeah, I know the band.
A bunch of huge hits. So they were recently actually in Columbia, Missouri, playing a front yard party.
Yeah.
And the entire campus showed up, and they announced it like 24 hours before, hey, we're going to be at this location playing a show, and thousands of people show up, and it's free, and they're probably not making any money, but who cares?
Super cool idea. Not the first band to ever do it, because in the early 1990s, I saw Urge Overkill do the same thing in Lawrence.
I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, who? What?
Never mind.
So we're talking about AI and the end of the world and whether or not creative aspects of journalism, book writing, the whole nine, are we going to be removing the human element away from it? And Scott had mentioned something that I've been worried about ever since the AI conversation started. When are we going to get to the point that Joe Schmo can go to an online video generator, type in a prompt, and start a thermonuclear war because of this deep fake AI video that he has created.
A la War Games with Matthew Broderick in 1983.
Such a good movie.
Go ahead and Google VEO3. Google VO3.
Are they all connected?
No, different words. Google, one word, VO.
Was this part of their Google's big?
Google VO.
Is this part of their big release yesterday where they announced all their new stuff?
Their brand new AI video generator to the public. Now, it's not free like some of the other ones like ChatGPT, OpenAI. Those have free versions. VO3 is not free.
Oh, God.
Costs $250 a month. But you go in, just like any of the other AI chatbot generators, and you type in a prompt, and, you know, you can tweak the prompt to make the video more of what you're looking for, and it will spit out a video that looks and sounds like a real person talking to you.
In 1080p. I mean, it's high tech.
What's 1080p? You guys got to speak
English. The highest resolution that you can get, so it looks like it's high quality. It looks like it doesn't come from Joe Schmo in his mom's basement.
And it's not just a random video like a camera on a face. It can change camera angles like it's a real Hollywood movie production.
It's almost 3D, and I use 3D.
It's like movie quality. It's movie quality. Yeah.
So you have the camera on the face. You have from the quarter angle, from the third angle, the low angle.
So could I say, for example, and I wouldn't, give me Vladimir Putin declaring war on the United States and announcing that they have just launched nuclear missiles at the United States mainland.
Now, I obviously have not purchased this platform. I have no reason to have it. But in theory, you could say that. I would assume if Google is smart, they coded in some stopgaps saying, you can't make politicians saying certain things. But if you tweak the prompt enough, you don't have to say, give me Vladimir Putin. You can say, give me a middle-aged man with gray hair. You can put in the descriptors.
Yeah, but if it doesn't look just like him, then we're going to know it's a fake.
Well, until you add enough descriptors to make it look just like him.
Yeah.
I would think that Google would stop you from saying, make me a video of Donald Trump.
Or nuclear or bomb or war.
I don't know why they would stop them from doing that.
I don't think they're going to stop them from doing anything.
So this was a major argument. You remember all the beef with OpenAI and Sam Altman six, 8 months ago.
Yep.
And how Sam Altman had been ousted from the company and then bought his way back in or whatever. We don't really know what happened because they never actually disclosed that stuff. As it turns out, in the rumor mill anyway, it was because he was pushing, trying to release all of this higher technology, and the board was pushing back, saying it's dangerous. It's too dangerous. We need to consider the power that we're giving the common man. And now Google has said, well, whatever, here you go.
I'm not worried about the common man. I'm more worried about the common moron.
Yeah. Well, is there a difference?
I mean, there can be. If you and I are just, let's say we own a small shoe company or something, mm-hmm. right? Or we own Bombas. We make socks, and we want to have AI produce a video, a commercial, for our sock company,
like a promo video. Yeah.
All right, fine. Who cares? You know that I'm the common man. You and I are the common man. We just own a sock company. We want a commercial that we can use and distribute to sell our socks. It's the common moron that I'm worried about. Who's going to make his ex-girlfriend say and do things that she never did? Or some gal who's going to make her ex-boyfriend do things that he never did?
I hate to use this even as an example, but Scott Parks says something on the radio that you don't like. You go to VO3 and you type in a prompt that says, make Scott Parks say, I'm obviously not going to say the prompt on the radio because I like my job. Something horrifying.
I get it.
And then you have to play defense.
Yeah.
And say it wasn't me.
Correct.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sam, because I think people, like you're mentioning, politicians, people in the ultra, ultra spotlight, they kind of sign up. They know that that's possible no matter what. That's been possible for a long time. The average business owner, in your example, or the average, not that you're average, but the average radio show host, to Sam's point, someone making a quote unquote deep fake video of you saying something that you didn't actually say.
Something racist.
Putting you in a location that you really were not and making it look real. That's terrifying. And for the low price, and I say low price because you're putting these tools in the hands of all Americans for $250 a month.
Yeah.
This is stuff that 10 years ago would have cost millions for people to use.
Here's another example, Bobby and Sam. I mean, think about when you're watching CNN or Fox News or, you know, ABC News, name the news broadcast company. And I'll give you an example. This morning, sadly, there was a small plane that went down in San Diego.
Right.
And it hit a house in San Diego. This is a true story.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard the news, I'm not making this one up. This is a true example. And when I was watching the news before I came into work today, it was either Fox or CNN. I can't remember which one I was on at the time. The network was using cell phone videotaped footage from just some common person, some layman, right? Every news outlet in America
ran with it.
And now in the future with this VO3 AI, how do you know that we can trust that that's what we're really watching?
There's got to be some kind of like watermark or something, right? Like,
but then what would be the point?
Exactly.
If there's a watermark, why am I paying you $250 to make me a fake video that looks real? Because now it doesn't look real.
Man, I don't know. I'm not equipped to have the answers to this. I don't think any of us are, but it's terrifying.
And the problem is the laws have not caught up with the technology.
And by the way, we've already seen the real world implication of this before this very easy to use technology even came out last April, a year and a month ago. You guys might remember there was a principal in Baltimore who was under fire for a video that came out of him saying
the N-word.
A series of racial slurs.
The N-word over and over again. And he damn near got fired.
He was fired for a minute.
And then had to go before the board and prove that it was not him.
Well, to Sam's point, you got to be on the defense.
And it was students who had made that video.
The AD, actually, who didn't like the principal.
That's who did it? The AD? Oh, my gosh.
Yep, allegedly. I don't think he's ever been convicted.
But wow.
All of the accusations claim that it was the AD that made this because he was not a fan of the principal. By the way, I had mentioned the fight between AI companies, and I mentioned OpenAI and Sam Altman. Turns out they released their Imagine, like image but with an N on the end, 4.0 in March, which has the same capabilities as VO3.
I don't want to scare people. I mean, that's not the point in talking about all this stuff.
Education.
But how you don't approach this with a very healthy skepticism and concern, I will never know.
And are there pieces of technology? I mean, we've had this conversation for years regarding military technology that people either shouldn't know about or shouldn't have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Because is certainly something that the common moron shouldn't have access to.
Don't you think that this is the stuff, though, that has been used by the government over the last 20 years and is just now becoming available to us?
Maybe.
I mean, I find it hard to believe that such high-tech things show up for the regular day consumer mm-hmm. fresh out of the box.
And by the way, it's a double-edged sword, too. Because let's say you and I are competing for a political office, and I have my staff generate something where you're saying, Bobby, the most horrible things about people, you know, who are either black or Asian or Jewish or whatever, and you never said it, right? And now you have to go out and actively prove or try to prove mm-hmm. that those words never came out of your mouth. Or you did say something awful and it gets out there, and all you have to do is say, that wasn't me, that's AI generated. Any mistake or bad decision that I make, I could just say, that wasn't me, that was AI generated, even though I really did say those things or I really did do that.
It really solidifies the point for me that I would not want to be that public to where you become a target that easily. Mm-hmm. You know, it's already like you go to dinner, people recognize you.
Oh yeah.
That happens to us sometimes. That's like the maximum. That makes me feel uncomfortable, let alone being a target.
I'm flattered by that.
Of course.
It would just be if somebody made a video of me saying words I never said.
Well, the thing is, even if you didn't say it and you have to be on the defense, you're already guilty in the public side.
What were you going to say, Sam?
From the text line, you all really shouldn't be talking about these apocalyptic scenarios when none of you know what safeguards are already in place. You're just unnecessarily fear-mongering. Get an expert on that can talk about the things that have been considered, legislated against, and protected against when it comes to these AI models. That's great. It could be illegal, but you still ruined my life because you released that video of me having a, you know, affair mm-hmm. or something, and all of a sudden I'm divorced and proving in court that it was an AI video.
For
great,
hope.
You still just ruined my life.
There's congressional lawmakers that are actively saying every single day, we don't have any laws. We don't have anything to regulate this.
And let me be very clear. And the texter brings up an interesting point, although it's fallible in the sense that we can get some expert on, but do they work for Google? Are they on the inside? And I would make the argument, everybody knows at Google or ChatGPT or, you know, OpenAI or whatever, they know the concerns / fears that the American public has regarding AI. I would argue it's their responsibility to tell us what safeguards they have in place, not for me to call some guy over at the UMKC Computer Science Lab and find out. It should be Google telling us today, we're putting out this VEO3. Here is, and we got to get to break, Sam. Here are the safeguards that we have put up to prevent people from tarnishing the reputations and images of public figures or even your spouse.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. Yes, caller. Thank you for the clarification. I said I was going to see my dad in Leavenworth.
Diane was very concerned.
I guess I left out the word dead.
But Diane was very concerned.
I didn't think Hy-Vee wanted that in the commercial. On Memorial Day every year.
I thought his dad was dead.
He is. I'm going to see my dad in Leavenworth at the cemetery.
Oh, man.
God bless you, Diane. Thank you. Thank you for the concern. I go up to Leavenworth every Memorial Day, and I sit down in front of his grave, and he and I have a very long conversation. It's rather one-sided.
Huh.
I'm the only one who's doing any talking, and I just talk to him
for, I think that's about great.
20, 30 minutes.
It is very healing.
I think it's beautiful.
It is. Actually, it is. You know, because I can't believe it. It's been 27 years since my dad passed, and I think about him every day. I miss him every day. I know any of you in the audience who have lost a parent feel the same way. I think about him every single day. Not a day goes by he doesn't cross my mind. But, you know, I take 24 years with that guy than 50 years with somebody that was not worth my time.
That's special.
You know, I was blessed to get 24 years with that man.
You want to talk about a crazy person?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
From the No Duh file, the stalker charged in stalking Jennifer Aniston.
Normally what stalkers do. They stalk.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You remember the guy who crashed his car into the front gate of her house at compound, and her private security team went out and apprehended him. That. Yeah, 48-year-old Jimmy Wayne Carwile. He's from Mississippi.
Carwile.
He's from Mississippi, so it's Carwile.
Carwile.
Yeah. Jimmy Wayne Carwile.
Okay, of course it's nice, Jimmy long, Wayne.
Gray beard, nice thick blue smock. He appeared in court where he was found to be incompetent to stand trial.
Shocked.
Old Jimmy Wayne Carwile.
Was his dad Charlie Roy in court with him or not?
You know, I don't know if Charlie Roy was there, but old Jimmy Wayne found to be incompetent to stand trial, and the courts are asking for a second opinion. Of course, he was accused of harassing the Friends star with a flood of voicemails, emails, social media messages.
Well, he also
solid years.
He also thought that they were in a relationship together.
That's before Mr. Carwile.
Carwile
hopped into his Chrysler PT Cruiser and drove all the way to her Bel Air mansion and drove it into the front gate.
How did he know where she lived?
Wrapping her up in his arms.
I think there's like Hollywood maps and stuff, right? Like shows where celebrities live. At least that was the thing in the 80s and 90s.
If they did not use a trust to purchase their home, and by the way, if you have that much money and you don't know to use a trust to purchase your home, you need to hire a better lawyer. But if she did not use a trust to purchase that compound, then it is very easy to figure out where she lives.
So Yelp is out with the top 25 burger chains in the United States. And they do the entire United States, but they also break it down into the regions. So let's go to the Midwest.
Let's.
Top five. Anyone?
In the Midwest. Like,
Midwest.
Oh, not Kansas City.
Midwest. Where we live.
Pretend like I didn't already look at the list.
Man.
Then I'm going straight to Bobby.
If it's if it's not Town Topic, it should be.
Well, I think Town Topic is Kansas City exclusive.
Yeah, I know.
Which, by the way, and I love the Town Topic. Town Topic is probably one of the best burgers I've ever had in my life. But if you don't actively feel your heart stopping when you take your third or fourth bite.
Pores just leaking grease.
You're a better man than me.
Are you getting the quadruple? Because that's what I get.
I mean,
I need four patties.
That is... Oof.
So we're talking like chains? Like restaurant chains?
Yes, burger restaurant chains. Not regional ones.
I mean, I would go with... Probably Whataburger's getting a lot of steam now.
No, Wahlburgers, though, is.
Ah.
And even in the South, Whataburger does not even make the top five.
Don't tell Patrick Mahomes this, but I believe that Whataburger is overrated.
So do I.
Agreed.
I agree with you. And I have never eaten at a Whataburger here in Kansas City. The only time I ever eat at Whataburger is when I go down to Austin to see my friend Lisa. So anyway. I'll take you out of your misery here, Bobby. Freddy's Frozen Custard is number four. Five Guys is number three.
Yes.
Mm.
Shake Shack is number two, although they ended up closing the one right down the street. Number one is Culver's.
It's good. Good Wisconsin stuff. Love it.
Culver's also finishes number one in the South.
Another great local small restaurant, the Snack Shack on Johnson Drive. Mm.
Really?
Delicious.
Nice. Bobby Kerr, in for Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name's Scott here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.